Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. Okay, let's do a participation song. This is a tremendous old song. It was written by none other than Hank Williams Sr. You've heard it before.
I wandered so aimless, my life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Sing the chorus.
I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Just like a blind man, I wandered alone. Worries and fears I claimed for my own. And just like the blind man, God gave back his sight.
While we're here, there is a phenomenon we see quite often. I talk to so many couples where one is a Christian and the other one isn't. And there is this struggle between two worldviews pulling against each other throughout their marriage, and then somebody dies. And all of a sudden, the person that wanted nothing to do with Jesus all of a sudden wants to know. And that's wonderful. And that's wonderful. Think of all those wasted years, would you? Of the time that you could have had that great communion of not just loving each other, but seeing things from the same eyes. I mean, this stuff is true. Jesus really did walk out of the grave. I don't say that because I'm a religious professional. I say it because it's true, and that's what caused me to become a Christian. But as I came to the realization that he really did walk out of the grave. So instead of fighting and not wanting that woman to tell you what to think and do, turn this down just a little. He wakes up early in the morning. Puts on his only blue suit, and he hasn't quite mastered tying his tie on the way his sweet Sarah used to. It's been years since he talked to the good Lord. He's not sure he even knows how, but he won't be mowing the front yard today. He goes to church on Sundays now. No, he don't know the words to
sure wants to see her again. For 31 years they were married. She never could get him to go. Now he's up bright and early, there by 10:30, and he sits on the very front row. And he bows his head with the members, and he shouts amen good and loud. If only his Sarah could see him today. He goes to church on Sundays now. No, they don't know the words to the old rugged cross, but he sings them the best that he can. 'Cause he knows that his angel is up there in heaven, sure wants to see her again. His kids can't believe how he's changing. They tell him their mama'd be proud. And he's always asking all of them to go with him. He goes to church on Sundays now. No, he don't know the words to the old rugged cross, but he sings them the best that he can. 'Cause he knows that his angel is up there in heaven. He sure wants to see her again. He gets up early in the morning. He goes to church on Sundays now.
All right, let's open our Bibles to John chapter 4, beginning at verse 4, speaking of Jesus. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he went to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from his journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. Then a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was who asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and his herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And the woman said, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." And Jesus told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you've just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, but you Jews claim..." Notice the change of subject, by the way. Did you notice that? That was pretty smooth of her. "You Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." And Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman." Now, when he says woman, it's not today, "Hey, woman." That's not what he's talking about. It's like lady, ma'am, okay? "Listen to me. Believe me. A time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is of the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and now has come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth.
They are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. And the woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, that he's coming, and when he comes, he will explain everything to us. And Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. Man. Just then, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, What do you want? Or why are you talking to her? Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, Come see a man who told me everything I did. Could this be the Christ? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, get this, guys, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. The disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes. Look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps is true. I sent you to reap where you have not worked for, and others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. And many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more believed. And they said to the woman, We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. I know it's a long portion of Scripture. What an incredible story. Jesus talks about a work he's doing there. You know what my dad always used to say when he was well? Whenever you would be leaving, he would always say, Be happy in your work. He would always say that. Be happy in your work. And he loved work. He loved it. Well, we got all kinds of work in our lives. You know, we have mundane work, right? We all have mundane work, stuff that's regular, that's a schedule kind of thing. You know, we all maintain our homes. We all maintain our families. We all earn a living. We all maintain our cars. Well, most of us do. And, you know, I mean, there's all these regular things we do. That's good. It's mundane work, but it gives us a schedule. It's a gift from God. We need work. It's a good thing. You know, in a perfect world, God created a garden for Adam to take care of. That's called regular work. Nothing wrong with that. It's a great thing. Mundane work. There's another kind. There's creative work. It's spontaneous, visionary kind of stuff that everybody does. Art is everywhere, and that creative work God has called us all to. It's part of who we are. We're his image, right? And he is the great creator, so we too will create. If your wife wants to decorate the house, get out of the way. She knows what she's doing, and she has a gift. Shut up and get out of the way. Let her add the color she wants. Let her put it together the way she wants. You're lucky enough to live there, okay? Let her do it, because it's a creative gift thing. It's all about color. Us guys, it's sad.
Oh, it's enough. All I need is my recliner.
If you've gone into a bachelor's house, sad. Sad place. But you add somebody with a creative gift. I mean, we all love watching Chip and Joanna Gaines, right? Don't you love what they do with those places? I love it. That creative work is a beautiful thing. My buddy Ed Santola, Mr. Finance, his creative work was trying to help people out of their situations into a healthy view of money, biblical view of money, and to help them get their life in order. That was his creative gift, to see the mess and try to undo that and try to help them. I miss him. Boy, I miss Ed. He's a fine man. I really, really enjoyed him. You know, a building and repairing is a lot of stuff guys do. It's about the creative way. My buddy Carl, he dreams of ways of restoring cars that he's putting back together. It's the thing he does. He dreams about it, wakes up, goes out and checks it, and it works. It's a creative gift. You name it. You like landscaping? It's beautiful. It's artwork. So we have that creative work, that mundane work, but there's another. That creative work is refreshing, by the way, too. You know, when you do something and you back up and it's done and it's beautiful, that is satisfying, isn't it? Well, there's another kind of work, eternal work, that God calls all of his people to. Generally speaking, Jesus said, go everywhere and tell everyone. That's pretty much the blanket statement that he made to all of his people. It changes eternity. Chuck White wrote a song long ago that we recorded with me and him and Morgan Cryer. It was a song about a church bus driver from the old Baptist church over on Airport Road. His name was John Pike. He's still alive. And the bridge of the song says, "He drove that bus for nothing and became a friend to me. The world thought he was nothing, but he changed eternity." God's work might not seem much to people in the world today, but I'm telling you, it's an eternal work. And it's the most satisfying thing in the world. Toward the end of this story, they try to give Jesus food, right? They'd gone to get food. Jesus talking to this lady. They try to give him food. Jesus says, "Oh, guys, I'm full up. Who brought him food?" These guys, they're all knuckleheads like all of us. Peter, James, John, all the rest of them, they're just a bunch of knuckleheads. They couldn't figure it out or follow it, just like us. "Who brought him food?" Jesus says, No. "I've got other food that you don't know about. My food is do the will of him who sent me and finish his work." It is so deeply satisfying to be involved in that part of work. And all of us are called to it. It's just the most satisfying thing. And in all reality, it's the great adventure, you guys, that we have all been called to. The great adventure. Don't miss it. Don't miss the most important, meaningful work that you have been called to. And Jesus is the example of how you do that, okay? We have this picture of Jesus here that I just love. Here he is, Jesus just being Jesus. He shows up. And there's some things I think that we can really learn if we'll just take a look at him here. Number one, Jesus ignored the social barriers. He ignored them. Oh, but they were all put up there. You notice what the lady said to him. "How is it that you, being a Jew, can talk to me, a Samaritan and a woman?" Two sets of rules. Number one, the Samaritan part. There were these racial problems going on there that were terrible, and they've been going on for a few hundred years. All kinds of resentment that it continued for all this time. Jesus, to Jews, these were the breakers of the covenant. They married unbelievers. They're only half Jews. They're dogs. These Samaritans had offered to help rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And of course, the Jews turned them down, and there was a tremendous bitterness because of that. So the Samaritans built their own temple in Samaria in 400 BC. And it was against the command of God too, but in 120 BC, the Jews attacked and destroyed the place and burned it down. Samaritans would sometimes detain Jewish travelers and harass them and hurt them. I mean, it was really a huge racial problem. Jesus ignored it. Don't fall into it. Just because somebody's black or Hispanic, they are your brother and sister. The racial problems. And then there's the social rules. The rabbis had taught that it was wrong for a man to walk alone with a woman, even if it was his daughter, because, you know, people might think something. They taught that a man should never speak to another woman in public unless it's his wife. Jesus ignored all of those rules. I love him. He just went through and did it. He ignored the social barriers. I love that. Ignore the barriers. Don't give them the time of day. Our rules are what we follow. Our rules are this: God loves all people, and so do we. Done. Jesus died for all people, so we concerned for all people. It is so important that we drop those social barriers. Tear them down. I remember Billy Graham not following the rules of President Reagan. When Billy was offered to go preach in the Soviet Union and the nation was kind of involved, they were kind of talking, and Mr. Graham told Mr. Reagan, "Sir, I don't work for you." And I by the way, I loved Ronald Reagan. He's a hero of mine. But he said, "I don't work for you." And he went to Russia and preached the gospel. And if you ever get to the Graham Library in Charlotte, there are videos of these old babushkas. Those are the old ladies who are Christians who had watched the fall. and watched communism take its hold and Christianity being rooted out of that society for their official statement of atheism. And he is preaching, Billy is preaching the gospel to thousands in Red Square. And the old babushkas, their faces are just wet with tears. They cannot believe the move of God. He went beyond the barriers. In fact, he sat at the barrier separating Germany from East Germany from West Germany. Mr. Gorbachev, tear this wall down. Remember Mr. Reagan said that? Incredible. The barriers have got to come down, you guys, within us. We're all raised with thoughts. But you think of a new barrier that's going up between Americans and Hispanics. You see a Hispanic guy and you think, oh, I wonder if he's got a green card. Really? Really. I mean, telling you what, this stuff's got to end, and it's got to end right here, because God will deal with us. We cannot take the rules, the social rules of the world. This is what surprised her so much. Man, oh man. So here's Jesus. He's going to talk to this woman. He's sitting at this well and surrounded by the history of Israel. This is a well that Jacob dug. That dude was 100 feet deep. I mean, the well, not Jacob. The well was 100 feet deep. And when she said, man, you don't have a rope or a bucket or anything. How are you going to get water when he's talking to her, right? I mean, he's surrounded by the history. Do you know all the folks were buried there? Do you know Joseph, before he died in Egypt, he told his children, make sure you take my bones back and bury me in Sychar. That's where they buried him. Here, he's sitting in the history of all this. He's not going to let any social rules keep him from loving these people, particularly this lady. Second of all, be who you are where you are. Notice Jesus was just Jesus. Now, yeah, he was God. He says later on in the story when she's talking about the Messiah, the Savior, this guy talking to you is him, okay? But before that, you know what he was? He was tired and he was thirsty. Jesus was human too. Just be who you are. You know, you're going to have a lot of needs with people that are around you. You're not going to be super Christian. You're going to have needs. Let other people know that. There's no reason to hide. Don't you try to be super Christian. Don't you think you're going to impress everybody by all of your, by all you do and, you know, how strong you are. And come on. One of the best connections you can ever have with anyone is to tell them your real needs. It's okay. Jesus had needs. Our needs open the door to others. We need each other. Don't put a facade on. Of not being needy, because you are. Our humanity connects us to others. Let them know you. And here's Jesus sitting in that old common. Notice where he is. It's not just who he is here. He's the tired Jesus, but here he's at just a common well. And God was about to break through with glory. You know, we think everybody's got to go to church to experience God. Not this lady. She tried saying, well, what about where should I worship? There, here, where should I worship? He goes, look, you just need to know who God is and worship him from your heart, spirit and truth. And I like it. Before she even believed, he said, the day is coming when you will worship the Father, neither in this place or in Jerusalem, but in spirit and in truth. To me, that is just so beautiful. The location, the common well, glory was about to break out. God doesn't work through official religious organizations necessarily that big. I mean, they didn't have some committee meeting about how to reach the Samaritans. They didn't have a special missionary drive. Jesus just went to where they were, showed up, and was himself with them in that place. The glory of God can break out in a grocery store. The glory of God can break out at a gas station. The glory of God can break out at a golf course. The glory of God can break out at a bar. It can break out wherever God's people are, who they are, where they are. It's true, and we're all called to it, and we've got to make sure that we are who we are, where we are. I just think that's just so interesting. Here's another one. Don't avoid the difficult conversations, okay? I don't like confrontation. I'm getting better at it as I'm getting older and angrier, okay? It's something about getting old. I don't know. You know, get off my yard, you know, get off my grass or whatever. I like to avoid difficult conversations. If you like difficult situations, then there's something wrong with you if you enjoy that. I mean, if you own a business and things are tough and you've had to lay some people off, those are not conversations you want to have with your friends who you love, right? I mean, there's difficult situations. Well, this is a difficult conversation. I want you to see this, okay? She comes. When does she come to the well? It's the sixth hour. That means noon, the heat of the day. You know, that's not the normal time people come to the well. People come to the well in the evening when it's cool. And all the girls came, because that was their social outlet in those days. They would all go to the well, draw water, and catch up on the latest gossip. This girl came at noon because she was the subject of a whole bunch of that gossip because of her life and her choices she'd made. So she comes at noon to avoid it all, and there is Jesus. You know, you might be carrying a lot of shame. Jesus will never avoid you. He'll come right where you are. He'll love you right where you are. He came to her. She's there trying to avoid everybody, and there sits Jesus. And then Jesus addresses her. He talks about her real situation. There's got to be an acknowledgement. You know, there's two things in order to become a Christian. Number one, you have to know who Jesus is. And second of all, we have to confess who we are. We got to admit we're lost. So Jesus talks to her and tells her something very profound. She's talking about water. They're talking about water. He wants a drink. But he takes it another step and shows her that she has a thirst deep inside that this water will never fill. And neither will those five husbands or the latest squeeze that she's living with. Nothing else is going to fill this in her soul. I can give you, if you would have known the gift of God, if you'd have known what God wants to give you and who it is who's asking you for a drink, you'd have asked him for a drink. He'd have given you water that would satisfy your soul. Man, that's not an easy conversation to have, but she was thirsty. Remember Psalm 42, verse 1. As the deer pants for the waters, so my soul longs for you. That's a hunger within every human unless they've quenched it. That was a longing that she had. And Zechariah had promised long before that living water will flow from Jerusalem. And it did, because in Jerusalem it was where the Savior gave his life. You are parched for real love, real connection, real meaning. I can give you that water. Go call your husband. I don't have a husband. Jesus said, that's true. You've had five, and now you got this other guy. He's not shaming her. He's just saying, I know. To me, that is such a beautiful thing. Such a beautiful thing that he didn't avoid the difficult conversation with her. And then she came back and she told everybody in her town, and they all came out, and they even asked Jesus to stay for 2 days, and the Savior of the world is welcomed into a Samaritan town that the Jewish people hated, whom God loved. You see, this girl went back to her town and told, right? That's because she wasn't domesticated yet. Let me tell you what I mean. What happens to most Christians is that we come believers, and we're all excited about knowing Christ, and then we want to make sure we don't stir the waters too much or don't rock the boat. And so we kind of pull back. Now, I'm not saying that we're out there being salesmen for Jesus, okay, or being jerks for Jesus. I'm talking about a boldness that he has called us to that comes from a real love and concern for others. And we get domesticated and we back up and then we do all of our religious stuff within some building somewhere, okay? Well, I've got memories of this building all these years of standing here, all these years of knowing your lives. Man, it's a beautiful thing for me, and it's rich. And God has done great things here, but he's done greater things out there, you guys. That's where it's at. Man, don't allow that to happen to you. Yeah, and the way it happens is, remember when the disciples come back to Jesus trying to give him food? It says here that when they came back, when the disciples returned, they were surprised. Did you see him talking to her? I was so surprised. They're all steeped in all of this. We hate the Samaritans. I'm sure those guys were all holding their noses the whole time they went through Samaria. They had to breathe through their mouths. What do you think? Oh. The whole time they went through, not Jesus. And then, you know, even though they are surprised, alarmed, nobody had the guts to say to her, what do you want? What are you hanging around him for? Who do you think you are? Thank God. And the other thing is they didn't say to Jesus, why are you talking to her? Don't let them domesticate you. Love everybody. Don't let them do that to you. And if you will do it, if you will not allow yourselves to be changed and reined in by the religious people, you will inspire others. Jesus said, I got food, I'm good. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. God's work is not done. Oh, the world's going to hell. Oh, it's terrible. Oh, boy. Make sure you vote. Make sure you do this. Well, that's how we'll fix it. We'll fight these people. Do you know these issues are about the heart? And the only thing that changes the heart is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing else. So he says, I've got food. They said, what are you talking about? And so he tries to even inspire these guys who haven't gotten it yet. He says to them in verse 34, open your eyes. Look. Look at this. Now is the harvest. Now is the time. I love that. There's a real problem in our culture. It's called the garage door opener. We got cars, smoky windows. We come home from work at night. Push the button, the garage opens up. We drive in, push the button, it closes. You don't have to say hello to your neighbors. You don't have to wave. You don't have to be nice. You can go right in and watch news. You can go right in and watch YouTube. You can go right on Facebook and act like you have relationships with those people that never see you and never feel the touch of your hand. That is not life. That's imitation life. Oh, I give to missions. Well, let me tell you what. That's imitation Christianity. You are called to a mission. And that mission is to all of those, of every color, of every walk of life, of every poor moral decision. All of them need to be loved. And you will inspire, now's the harvest. But the garage door opener, now I always told Debbie when we bought our house, honey, the only thing I ever dreamed about when I was a child was to have an American flag in my front yard. And the other thing was I wanted a garage door opener. You know, the only thing I wanted was an American flag and a garage door opener, I told her. And those things are really great, especially when it's raining, but it can really hamper our lives of never knowing the people who live a few feet from us for decades, and we never know them. That's a shame. I got this thing in the mail. Christ-centered mission trips. You know, those are really nice. Those are great. I know some kids that have gone all over the world, a great cultural experience and mission trips. Those are really great. Let me tell you something. We're on a mission trip. This world, your life, this minute, now is a mission trip. It's not when you go to Outer Mongolia, you know, and serve soup to orphans. I mean, that's nice if you want to go spend $20,000 to do that. It might be better to send the $20,000 to the orphanage and let them feed them. Maybe, I don't know. But I mean, we act like that's the big mission move. The big mission move is home with your family, with your neighbors, with your coworkers. That's your mission field. And God has called all of us to this eternal work, and it will change your life. kid named Nicholas Zenz works at Taco Bell. Works at Taco Bell. You know what he does? He makes the tacos or he rings up stuff, you know? Something happened one day. He was waiting on customers when a lady in line screamed. And he looked up, and she had a hold of her tummy, and she was pregnant, and her water had broken. So he said, call 911, jumped over, found a place for her to be able to lay down and feel comfortable, put something behind her head. But those EMS people weren't very fast that day. This 17-year-old boy delivered a little child in a Taco Bell. He said, I'm respectful to women and I feel very uncomfortable, but this lady's saying, help me, and all of a sudden, the head of this child is in my hands. He delivers the child. They got a clean newspaper and wrapped him up in there until the EMS got there and got him out of there. He said, I want you all to know I washed my hands really, 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 really good before he went back to work. But you know what he said? Having experienced new life in that dead place of Taco Bell, it's never been the same after that. I'm always looking for the next one, is what he says. Listen, life is so much more than working at the local Taco Bell or running that financial organization or, you know, commanding your hundreds of employees or litigating some big... No, it's way more than that. It's that, and those things are all important. But there is this high calling of eternal work on the lives of all God's people. Let's stand together to pray, shall we? Come on. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord Jesus, thank you for your love and mercy to us. But Lord, we want to show our love to you by caring about the people you say to care about, not what the world tells us. Lord, there are broken hearts everywhere that need us. Help us, Lord, to love because we have been loved. May we love you because you loved us. And since you loved us, help us to love them. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service.
We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.